How is God doing what he's doing? It's a mystery to the world. They don't even know what he's doing, but how he's doing it's even more of a mystery to mankind. Philosophers, science, politics have basically given up on explaining to the world, because they're the smartest people on earth, you know, how all this is working. So they've decided to move forward with there being no God at all, since he has not shown himself to them. How is God doing this? Well, you know, you ask a member of God's church how God's doing the work, and we'd get various answers. Well, why did God create and put man on earth? For God's ultimate supreme purpose of reproducing himself, that's why. Of recreating himself, as it were, by a supreme objective of creating the righteous, divine character, ultimately in millions, unnumbered, begotten, and born children who shall become God family members, God beings, members of God's family. Now you say that to the world, especially to the religious leaders, and anger will be your result. For that is blasphemy, to say that a human being could become God. Human beings don't replace God. Human beings are added to his family. Man was made to have, and you can say it lots of ways, man was made to have with the assent, if you will, with the assent or the choice of the human being, a special relationship above all other actions of mind, of body, of soul, of spirit, of heart, a special relationship with his maker. Now, these concepts that we're talking about here are a matter of life and death, and they are more important than any other thing. Man was made in the form and shape of God. Let us make man in our image. He was given a spirit, it's the essence of the man, because the Spirit of God is the essence of God. And the spirit in man separates him from being like the animals, because animals don't have a concept of God, they don't have a concept of life, they don't have a concept of mortality, they don't have a concept of death. They do have a memory, they do have the ability to remember, but they don't have what you have, what I have, and that is the ability to understand mortality, whether we like to think about it or not, and the ability to know of, I didn't say understand, know of eternity. Ecclesiastes 3, God has put eternity in their hearts, yet there is no one who can find what he's doing from the beginning to the end. So they don't understand what they have in their hearts, they just know there is such a thing as eternity. This spirit in man makes this relationship possible. How God is doing that with a select few now is hidden from humanity, and only the chosen ones, this is a dangerous statement, only the chosen ones may know now what he's doing and how he's doing it. And this designer, creator, being above all things, of which all things are coming, is bringing about all this through the chosen assent of those he chooses. He's choosing you. You're choosing to follow him. So today, we're going to look more deeply into how God is doing this overridingly supreme, important process to bring about the actual new life. A life that didn't exist before. A brand new life. In physical beings that he calls, that he chooses. to do so. And he's doing it through Christ. So this is the revelation of how God's love creates new life. There's our topic. How God's love creates new life. Well, if you think about it, when you realize that in John 1, you find Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. By him all things were made. There wasn't anything that was made that was not made by him. So how did he do that? He just pointed it out. Over there is this universe, and then over here is in the universe is the earth, and then there's the solar system, and then there's man. No. It was done, and we'll prove it, through his love. And that's what we're to learn. Because we think of love as affection, we think of love as connection, we think of love as intense relationship. We don't know what God's love is until we yield to it. There's three elements to this today. Let's see how fast we can go through it, okay? All right. If I can get this to start. All right. Three elements to how God is ordaining this process which humanity has been blinded to. How is this working? The first element that we're talking about in the first section, there's only three. The first one is that God is love and God is the creator of all life. Now, if you put those two pieces of information together, which are easy to do from the scriptures, that God is love and that God is the creator of all things, and that includes life, then life is created by love. God is love. God is creator. Life is created by love. How does that work? We'll look at it. The second thing we're going to look at is what and why is man at all? What is he? What has God been doing here? What is he and why is he? Again, because of God's love, that's what he is. He is to become a loving being. Why? Because love is how it is. The easiest way to put it. The universe runs on love. And our third thing is that God love, if you will, hyphenate it, God's love creates the caring and giving way. Unless God does that in a human, we aren't caring, we aren't giving. We think we are, we're not. And this means life forever. God is love. God is the creator of life. What and why is man? And God love creates the caring, giving way in us. And that is important to know because it's why we're here. It's what he's doing. All right. So God is love and God is the creator of all life. That's our first point. God is love and he's the creator of all life. And we start by seeing how God shows his chosen ones how he's doing his process. He actually shows you. If you want to look at it, let's turn over to Titus. Titus 2, the second chapter of Titus. Now, I know you well enough to know you'd know the scriptures to prove that God is love and that God is creator. So we're trying here to show you things that you may not have seen as related to that. I don't want to be boring. Why should we bore you? Everybody falling asleep. Okay, so Titus 2 in verse 11. Let's start there. And remember now, God's love creates life. Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God. Let's just stop right there. For the grace of God. Grace can be said many things. It can be the superior bending down to help the inferior. It also can mean unearned love. For the unearned love of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. Now, what do you suppose that means? Christ came here and appeared. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, that word soberly is going to come up again, you'll see. So just kind of remember, soberly means nothing more important. We should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, right now, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, you could say, well, that's because he's being the leader, the God, the master, the Lord. And yet he would say, it's because I'm being his servant who gives you life. And there wasn't anything in his life that didn't prove that. As a matter of fact, he scolded the apostles for wanting to sit at his right hand and his left and all that. So he said, no, that's not how the kingdom works. That's not how life works. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're talking about how love is created, or life is created by love. 1 Peter 1. Can I find it here? Okay. 1 Peter 1 in verse, if I can find it, 13. There we go. Got it. Okay. So this is now, he's doing something with a group of people, a special people, he says. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, in verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, protect your mind. Be sober. There's that word sober again. Nothing more important. And rest your hope fully upon the unearned love that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you understand what Jesus Christ is doing, you start moving in the direction of what God's doing as he directs you to do. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, when you didn't know what was going on, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. It's a big statement. Why? Look at verse 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but it's Leviticus 19:2. That's quoting Leviticus 19:2 and a couple of other scriptures. But Leviticus 19:2. And Moses was told to tell the children of Israel, you tell them to be holy because I'm holy. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means holy, being separate from the world, being separate from sin, from corruption, from turning to dust. That's what it means. So you do that. But why though? Why would you do that? Because God is holy. And God made everything, and he wants to make you holy. So be you holy. Allow this, make that choice to be separate from the world and not be pushed around by the world or Satan. Okay? Because he's holy. Go down to verse 21, please. Go down to verse 21. He indeed was, in verse 20, he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. What Mr. Christensen was talking about, it was decided before the world began, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, where did this incorruptible seed come from? This is the begettal that the Father does. Remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. The Father begets the child. The mother brings forth the child. It takes two to make a child. God set this up for marriage and birth, for us to understand the process, the mystery, as he calls it in Ephesians. The mystery of the marriage of man and woman. So the father begets the child, starts the child off, and the mother brings it forth. The father is God, who is the mother? The church. That's the mother. So, how important is the church? It's the mother of your future self in the family. And it brings you forth. Now let's go over to Colossians 1. Reproving, working on, explaining that love causes or creates, both causes and creates, and supports life itself. But it's not existence like this, like physical existence. It's God life. It's actual life. Spirit life. God's love creates life. And we're talking about how does he do that? Well, let's go here. Colossians 1 in verse 13. Colossians 1 verse 13. Now remember, we're not doing much other than assenting and deciding and choosing to follow what God tells us. And then, not only has he chosen us and called us, and he hasn't called and chosen everybody, he's called a unique group of people. And then he helps us do it, empowers us, enables us to do it. Colossians 1, verse 13. I can find it here. Okay. He has delivered us. That's interesting. He's taken us from one place to another. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or moved us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, meaning we've been paid for. We bought through his blood the forgiveness of sins, which the Pharisees, when Jesus Christ said to someone, your sins are forgiven you, they said, well, only God can forgive sins. The Pharisees knew that. Forgiveness of sins is not because someone waves holy water over your head. Forgiveness of sins is from the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 15, this is speaking of Christ. He is the image, verse 15, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So there are going to be more born. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So where did archangels come from? Christ. Christ created them. Where does the Holy of Holies come from? Christ created it. Where does heaven come from? Whether in heaven or in earth, he created all things. He created it. So the person who died for you paid with his very being, which he's teaching us to do too, follow him, lay down your life, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. That person is teaching you a method of life that this world is not teaching. It's not about dominion. It's not about conquest. It's not about competition. It's about giving yourself away for the life of others. But the kingdom life, God life. Verse 18 of Colossians 1. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he may have preeminence. Verse 21. Go down to verse 21, please. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now he has reconciled, meaning he's fixed it in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. This transformation of a human being is not done by fiat. God does not have a magic wand that he waves over you and you become righteous. You have to assent to his guidance, and you know you're doing it, and he guides you to do it. Romans 6. Someone asks you what the cause is of the hope in you. Why are you different? This will help you answer. God is changing my life, How bad was I before? How bad were you before? Romans 6, let's go down here to verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you had no connection to it. What fruit did you have then? Or as television psychologists used to ask, how's that working for you? It's not working. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You're decaying away, you're corrupting away, you're fading away. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end? Everlasting life. When we get a chance to sit down this afternoon after services, let's talk about everlasting life. How long is that? What do you see out there? A million years? 2,000 years? A trillion years? What do you see out there? I don't see anything out there. Let's talk about that. John 14, one of Christ's prayers. John 14. So if you wanted to learn how to pray, he says how, gives us an outline. The apostles ask him how. And then there are some prayers written down that he prayed. And if he insists on you being like God, and your job is to be a follower of Christ and acquiesce to him, because he says so, then our premise here doesn't seem to fit. New life comes from loving you. Well, let's look at this. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, okay. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it. You know it, for you know it, for he dwells with you and will be in you. A supernatural help. And then he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now, is there a clue here as to who the helper is? Who the Spirit is? It's him. I will be in you. I will come to you. Ta-da. So he's taking his time. And if you think the creator of all things, by the way, in Hebrews, it says he upholds all things, who is a little busy right now, has time and effort and energy to come to you. Does that sound loving? For we never earned it. And he does it. How close to you does he want to be? 2 Corinthians 6. How close? Well, you know, he's coming on a cloud, and we'll see him in the clouds in great glory. 2 Corinthians 6. And we'll see him coming in the glory of God. And you know, it's not about getting an appointment to talk to him, because there won't be a time to do that. But we can talk to him in prayer, but no, stop. This loving being is going to do things, and already has, that we can't even comprehend. They are so loving. 2 Corinthians 6, in verse, let me get down here, 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Where's that? That's Leviticus 26:12. That's where that's at. That's what was written down. I will live with, somebody wants to move into your house. Somebody comes knocking on your door tonight when you get home from Sabbath services and says, I have decided I want to live in your house. What would your first reaction be? I don't know you. Oh, I hope not. Don't say that to Christ. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to live with you. Sound like he's loving you? Ephesians 3. He's really concerned, and should be, because we're so far away from him, we can't comprehend him. We can't comprehend how he's doing this, because we don't have him in us enough. We don't have him as our priority in life, because, you know, all we have to do is have somebody cut us off in traffic, or somebody send us a bill that we don't owe, and all of a sudden we're thinking of something else. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, he has to give it to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, your minds is what that means, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, so that you could understand this with all the saints, what's the width and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, ever. This reality proves that God loves you to the point of giving you life. Daniel 12. Now, I don't know what life is like when, you know, we're members of God's family. And, you know, Daniel 12. We're probably not going to sleep, so we don't need to rest. We won't get tired. We won't get sick. We'll always have everything because we own everything along with everyone else. There's a couple other things, just minor things. Daniel 12:3. Speaking of those in the kingdom of God, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Oh yeah, that extra little thing. You will shine so brightly, it would kill a mortal to look at you. Let's finish this section in Revelation 7. Let's go back to Revelation 7 and finish this little section here on God's love creates new life. If God cares for you enough to give himself completely up for you, if God empowers you personally all the time, if you will go to him for it, if God cares for you enough to uphold you all the way through until the day of Christ, how will he behave in your presence when, you know, he comes to live and knocks on the door tonight? How will he behave in your presence? Revelation 7, let's go back here to verse 13. Yeah, verse 13. Revelation 7:13. One of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these who are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to them, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell with them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. Sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He will have to be extremely close to you to do that. Just like a father with a child who is distressed. Wiping away the tears of the child. Let me get this out here. There's a different set of notes on this issue. So number two, the second section, what and why is man? What and why is man? This is in many ways for those in this room who may not have heard this, who may not have known of this. Many of us do. Many of us, or some of us, do not. There's a spirit in man. That's in Ecclesiastes. The human spirit imparts the power of the intellect to the physical brain. And the spirit cannot see, it cannot taste, it cannot hear, it cannot smell, it cannot feel. The brain sees through the eye, hears through the ear, etc. The human spirit cannot of itself think. The physical brain does the thinking. What then is this function of this human spirit? It's not a soul. It imparts the power of intellect, of thinking, and of mind power to the human brain. And it is the very means which God has installed, making it possible to have a personal relationship between the human mind, the human being, and the divine God. If it weren't for the spirit that's in a human being, you couldn't have that relationship. Real truth, actual reality, is revealed. Unless it's revealed, it remains a mystery. And human beings have a mystery here. Utterly unknown to the deceived science and intellectuals, they're not aware of this. First of all, there's not supposed to be a spirit in man. That's not metaphysical, or it is metaphysical, and we're not going to talk about that because I don't know if you realize this, but science sees you as a machine. Okay, you're a machine. Jesus said in prayer, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. That's why he'll wipe tears away from your eyes. He sees you as a babe. That's in Matthew 11:25. We have things revealed to us that mankind does not. It might seem shockingly strange, because there's a dimension in knowledge untaught. But the real value of human life is solely in the human spirit. That's a human being's value. Animal brain has intellect and instinct. But man was created to have this relationship. God wants this relationship. He created us to do it. We're literally set up to do it with our Maker. Therefore, he has made us in the Maker's form and shape, with conduct and relationship, and being made possible by the presence within the human being of the human spirit. To choose, to assent, to combine with God's spirit, ultimately then becoming born, brought forth into the kingdom of God. That's why God did this. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of mind of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Even we haven't thought of how big a deal this is. And the essence of that is that if you ask God to reveal more of it to you, you will become more committed and less committed to the world. By the way, what we just looked at is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen or ear heard. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. What's important about that is that we just cannot comprehend it. So God hasn't given it to our brains yet. And only when the Holy... And by the way, this is important to understand. If repentance, seeing yourself and not liking yourself and seeing yourself as wrong and understanding you're a sinner were what was necessary, or all that was necessary, then everyone would understand all this because God would just give it to them. That's not the case. Repentance isn't enough. Remember, you can find it in Acts, repent and be converted. Okay. Only when the Holy Spirit enters, combining with the human spirit, can God become really able to comprehend what is spiritual. But the natural man reveals not the things, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. The natural man thinks we're foolish. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's Romans 8:14. So human beings can't understand this because it's spiritually given. God would have revealed to Adam his way of life. Adam didn't want that. He decided for you. And here we are in a world that's corrupting and passing. Man just simply doesn't seem to realize that we're slaves of sin. Sin is really living in a way that will not continue. This isn't how it was designed, isn't how you're designed, isn't how you're built, isn't how you're held up. But God has, in his wisdom, allowed time for us to learn. The wisdom of God is first pure, peaceful, and willing to yield. What is he willing to yield? Time for us to learn. And I more and more, in the year I've gone through this year especially, feel unworthy to be in God's presence or yours. The reality of it is, I'm not worthy. And the reality of that is that God says, I know, but I'm giving you time. We are not saved by the death of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by Easter. We're saved by his life, meaning we were paid for, reconciled, justified by his death, but his life is what saves you, brings you into the kingdom, causes you to understand the truth. So, who is a real Christian? Those who have been and are being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and they would know it. They would know it. Romans 8, don't have to turn there. Romans 8, verse 9, verse 11, and verse 14. Romans 8, verse 9, 11, and 14 will tell you the only way you can be a Christian is to have God's Holy Spirit and be following it. And none can receive the Holy Spirit until the person repents of his sins, his transgressions of God's law, and has complete faith in Jesus Christ. Relying on Christ includes believing Jesus Christ, believing what he says, his word, the Holy Bible. And then God allows new mind, new heart within the Father's purview and Christ's sacrifice and guidance, brand new life that was not there before. Let me just say, someone can sit in services, keeping God's holy days, Sabbath, doing all of the standards that we think make us a Christian, and they do not. Those are a product of following Christ in you. And that is the truth. It's just how life is. So then what is man? What is he? He's a living being made from the dust of the ground. From dust you come, to dust you will return. He's clay. and God as the master potter, molding and shaping and forming our character. And if we respond when he calls and draws us to him, our willingness will be infused by him with his own very holy, spiritual, righteous character. God will come and live with you, in you. What is man? The only creature that's physical that can bind with God. Why is he? God created man on earth to build in us, but the sinning angels, the third of them, refused to let God build in them his perfect character. They didn't want to serve, they wanted to dominate. He is, in his time, order, and way, developing us into becoming his children and to finish the creation of the unfinished universe. But for now, we still live in this deceived world, led by Satan. But our citizenship is in heaven. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are seated in heavenly places, and we have entrance into the Holy of Holies. All of those are sermons we've covered in the last 6 months. God's love is creating more God life. God's love creates life. So, that's our second section. That, what is man? Why is man? What is man? It's because of God's love, the ability to combine with God. He made that in the place, in creation of us, and allows us to do it. Why is man? To become a member of the God family. It's not that complicated, is it, when you think about it? Except the world doesn't want to hear it. Our third section, then, is that God's love, creates the caring, giving way, which is actually life eternal. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. There's so much to this, I don't want to run over, so I'm watching the time here at the same time as trying to give you all this so that you can have it for reference. Okay, remember now, there are things that God says, especially in Hebrew, sometimes in Greek as well. There are things, sometimes he says, well, what? Come again? What? Here's one of them. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Huh? Hey, Dad, can you pick me up so I can see the parade? Get it? Have you ever seen a father do that? Where do they put you? Right here. Between their shoulders. Dwell there while he's wiping your tears. This is your father. Dad. Abba Dad. Abba Father. This isn't somebody on a cloud in light that's so bright it'll kill you as a mortal being. This is somebody who made you and knows every hair on your head and upholds you, and he knows your evil and he knows the good in you he's put there more than you do. And nobody compares to him, and your brother either. Christ in us, Christ in us, grants us the same conduct and character as the giving, sharing, caring Christ. Ephesians 1. But it's with your choice to do it. deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. All of those are action words. This isn't someone being made to be righteous. This is someone who is being allowed the power to choose to be like God. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him, in love. So this process is a loving process. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Again, about love. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which is unearned love, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and guidance and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. What we have covered today is a mystery to everyone else. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. His will is loving. His will is guidance. His will is life. His will isn't domination. His will isn't to take over. His will isn't to force you. His will is to guide you forever and ever. Philippians 2. Philippians, second chapter. It's not as if you haven't seen this before. But look at it, please, this way. Whatever Christ was like on earth as a human, do that. It's a loving thing he did to come here and show us how to live. He could have told us how to live. He did that for 4,000 years and see how well that worked. So he came here. Of course, it was all planned ahead of time. Came here and did it. Do that. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let, not figure it out, force it, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Do that. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, do that. And being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. If necessary, do that. 2 Corinthians 5. If God asks you that, you really do need to ask yourself, as I do every day, would I do it? Hard to answer, huh? Do that. Oh, this relationship with God is an extracurricular. Oh, this isn't something he's forcing me to do. I have to choose this. Remember the sentence, Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let it pass. Nevertheless, your will be done. Asking that three times, and then the Father didn't answer at all. Absolute silence. Christ got that settled on the night of his crucifixion. I have to do this. He could have said no. He said, I lay my life down. I could take it up again. But he didn't. Why? Lovingly for you. That's why. Because new life is being made there. Brand new life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If you want a proof about a brand new, non-existent, pre-existent life beginning that will never end, here it is. 2 Corinthians 5, go down to start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me ask you a simple question. Does any of that sound like, if I figure out enough doctrines, if I figure out enough about the world, if I understand society well enough, then I'll be in the kingdom? Absolute foolishness. Absolute nonsense. First of all, most of that comes from other human beings. If you're in Christ, old things have passed away and you have a new life. Don't focus on the world. The world doesn't know squat. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the service of explaining that. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and was committed to us, or has committed to us, the word of reconciliation. In other words, unearned love, grace. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Does that sound like someone who hates you or wants to dominate you? It does not. What was God's, Christ's love like in your life so far? Or another way to put it is, what's he done for you lately? John 15. John 15. We read this every Passover. What has his love done for us? See all this stuff? Creation. You. Creation. Mind that you can think, see, hear, feel, know, learn, grow. Creation. Redemption. You were lost. You were slaves of sin. Now you're not, if you'll listen. He came here and he exampled what God life is. That's what he's done for us lately. And he wants to include us. It's his hope to include us in the God family. So where does it say it's his hope? He made the creation, it's in Acts 17. He made the creation subject to futility, not of necessity, but of basically of a decision that men, that he has this hope that men would grope for him and find him, though he's not far. He did this as everything is decaying so that we grope for him who stops that decay. Who stops the corruption, who stops the hate and the dominance and the sin. In his love, this is his creation. John 15, verse 12. There's a phrase, there's an idiom in English that says this another way. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Or, here's the idiom. I did it first, now you. I did it first, now you. You saw how I loved. Do that. It's about love. It's about changing us through love, creating a brand new life. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. God wants to be with you. And the only thing that's in the way is you. 1 John 4, verse 12. 1 John 4, 12. No one's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides, lives in us. And his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we live in him. And he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in this love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So today we've seen that God is love. He's the creator of life, so love creates life. We've learned what and why man is. It's because of God's love for us. And he made us and designed us and planned us. And we also learn that God's love creates the caring, giving way in us. Love creates life eternal. How? How? By granting us time. He doesn't have to do this. He gives us time to learn of his eternal way of life, that we may become part of a new life, of a new class of spirit-born creations, God's family. Let's end here in Revelation 12. Something being said about God's people that seems like showing up on the Sabbath and keeping the holy days and not eating that bacon on that burger is just a tad below the standard. Well, I'm in the United Church of God. We don't have the same beliefs you people do because we don't keep Easter and Christmas. Revelation 12. This reality that God is building a member of his family that he created, called, and upholds. He's pouring himself into you, wants to live with you, and will cause this to happen, and will never stop until it's done. This reality motivates us to become like him and do it with the Father in Christ and do it forever. Revelation 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. And then I heard, am I in the right place? Revelation 12, 10? I think so, yes. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So don't hold back when someone asks you why you are like you. And they did not love their lives to the death. Don't eat that pork on that hamburger, because that'll get you into the kingdom. Nope. Make sure you keep all the Sabbaths, because that'll get you in the kingdom. Nope. Follow Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross like he did. And follow him. This is how the God family is expanding to new life with a capital L, created by God's caring. How God's love creates life.